We are so glad that all of you are here. Sarah, you have a fan base. It's really good to see you at Coffee House Worship. Sarah Blake doesn't need an introduction for this group. I know that all of you, most of you, if not all of you, have had interaction with Sarah. And my particular bias, and because of my friendship with Sarah, is this is a really extraordinary person. Sarah.
You're not supposed to cry.
I know! I'm sorry! Laura. I'm going to blame Laura. Sarah has been handed some stuff in life that isn't fair, and it's kind of obvious stuff, and she's also been handed some stuff in life that's amazing and great strengths. She's got an incredible mind. She's got a great sense of perseverance, and she has a Lord in a relationship with her living Lord that has grown and has been dynamic in all of the paths that she's walked in her life. Sarah has her MDiv from SOT, Anderson University SOT. And she just, I think you just completed teaching a Hebrew course, is that right? Is that completed now?
Yes.
To her first Hebrew student online and other ways, I think, as well. I think you've had lots of creative interaction with that person. Maybe you'll tell us a little bit about that. I asked Sarah to be one of our guest story sharers, and when I asked her, she and I were just talking one day, I was kind of kicking myself for not thinking of having her in this mix before now. But she agreed pretty quickly and was willing to come over and share some of her story with you. I don't know if you've been reading her Facebook posts, but she's said a couple things on Facebook about some of the things that she might be sharing with us that I didn't know, and you and I have had a friendship for kind of a long time now. And so, yeah, so it kind of prompted me to be really curious and be eager to hear what you have to say tonight. So Sarah's going to sing a little bit, share some of her music, but also share her story, and we'll have time to interact and ask questions and respond at the close of her talk. So Sarah, we welcome you.
Well, I'm at a disadvantage here. Sort of. Because I can only see the first row of tables. And I know a lot of people didn't realize that I could see, so now you know the first thing. Are the Fridleys here tonight?
I don't think so, Sarah.
Well, first thing I want to say, and it's not really fair to say it without the Fridleys, but I know most of you are probably wandering around with a yellow dog. And I'm not doing that lately. And I've had a lot of questions over the last year. So I'm going to take 2 seconds to explain that, because it's really easy to do it with all of you here. When I started coming to Park Place, I had a brand new dog named Loretta, and she was an angel. And Loretta has, of course, gotten into her retirement years. And she's now a buddy to Mackenzie Fridley. And they are very happy. Mackenzie has a sweet buddy now to spend her older years with. And Loretta has a lot of years left. I went back and got another dog. And the other dog had some medical problems that I could not handle and take care of. So she returned to the school, and they were able to help her. And she's now working again with someone else. And I'm very happy for her. I'm taking a break from dog work for the first time in 24 years. It's very different. It's a little scary. So now everybody knows. I need to do a little bit of getting familiar with who's here. So would y'all give me a couple of extra minutes for the sake of community work? Because, like I said, I can't see past the first row of tables. And I can't see your faces. So for all I know, y'all could be a bunch of kindergartners. That's not really fair. I would like to do a little survey. And you have to talk. You can't raise your hands. So we're going to count backwards. How many kids do we have? This is the only time we get to count forwards. If you're under 10, would you say yes?
Yes.
Is Ada the only one?
No.
Oh, let's try that again. You're under 10, so just say yes.
Really loud.
Yes.
That's better.
Yes.
I know better. Somebody lied. You do not get to come up here when I call the kids up here. Let's just let them sit on the floor.
He's holding a baby.
All right. Now we're going to go backwards. If you're over 80, would you say yes?
Yes.
Yes.
They did better than you kids. Woo! Okay, you're between 70 and 80.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. If you're between 60 and 70.
Yes.
I know that little kid's not between 60 and 70. It's full of athletic. This is a lot more fun than I thought. 50 and 60.
Yes.
All right. 40 and 50.
Yes.
You have to say yeah.
I'm not 50 yet.
30 and 40.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. There's all the moms. 20 and 30.
Yes.
Okay. How about the youth group?
Yes.
Let's try it again. Youth group. Youth disappeared. Oh. Youth group.
Yes.
Okay, one.
Yes.
Two. Oh, this is weird. Okay, that's good. Babies.
Lots of babies.
If you're holding a baby or sitting with a baby.
Yeah. 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 Yes.
There we go. Okay, that was fun. I've never done that when I've done any speaking before. That was really fun. Okay. Now, if you're under 18 and you would like to come sit up here on the floor. Anyone want to do that? Ada, that's your cue. Ada's going to help me out. That's okay.
Some more.
That's okay. You can tell me you need that. For those of you, the rest of you who are not kids, I'm going to be talking to these kids because I don't want to lose them when I'm doing this. So y'all please excuse me if this is a little below you, because I really, really don't want to lose them while I'm doing this. So for you guys, I'll be taking a minute. So I'm going to talk to you while I tell this story. Part of this story, I'm going to be talking to you so I can keep your attention. So it's interesting. Sometimes I'm going to take a break and I'm going to talk to your moms. Is that okay? Ada's got a project. How do you guys, do you guys know how blind people read?
Yeah.
Want to touch it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're on elevator doors.
Yeah, that's right. They're on elevator doors. Have you guys ever seen that?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is called Braille. And that's how I read. I put my fingers up here and I start at the top just like you guys do with your eyes. And I read it from this side all the way over here, just like you do with your eyes.
Did you touch it, Nana?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty cool, huh? That's
pretty neat.
You guys want to stay up here or you want to go sit with your moms? You can stay up here if you want to, because I have more stuff to show you and tell you.
Yeah.
Okay?
What stuff is it?
Well, I'm going to show you what one of my Bibles looks like. Would you like to see that?
Yeah.
Okay. Ada's going to show you her Bible first.
Ada is going to mark in her Bible with her fingers the book of Mark. And she's going to hold it up. You got it? Okay. Ada's book of Mark and my book of Mark. Yes. So you guys can imagine how much space my Bible takes up. It takes up almost 5 feet of shelf space. Yeah. Now, guys, if we have Bibles in Braille, do you think that we have music in Braille? Music notes?
Yeah.
Yeah? You think so?
Yeah. Has that.
What do you think, Ada?
Can't play music.
Well, you can.
I want to touch up.
But yes, we do have music notes in Braille. Yeah. So, we'll be talking about music notes. Now, one more thing, kiddos. Can you guys hold your hands and show your moms and dads how big you think a newborn baby is? How did they do? Did any of them get it right? No. Pretty small. Karma, would you come help me out?
Yeah.
How big was June?
Oh.
How big was June when she was born?
Yeah, about eight pounds. Eight pounds, almost 9 pounds.
Show your arms.
Yeah, I got.
Okay, good. Now, did anybody in this room have a baby less than 5 pounds?
Granddaughter.
How big?
4'11".
Anybody have a smaller one?
She wore dog clothes.
Show us.
She was about like this.
When I was born, listen up, guys. When I was born, I was 2 pounds.
Oh, wow.
14 inches. Anybody want to take a guess?
Yeah.
I did not get to go home from the hospital right away.
I went to a hospital.
Yes, you went to a hospital. That's good. Did you stay there for a while?
Some things of matter.
Did the doctors work on you?
No.
No?
It was my new cousin.
Your aunt had a baby?
Yeah.
Oh, so you know about babies in the hospital. Yeah.
Yeah. She's baby leg.
She's about this big. She's like this big.
Like this.
Well, let me tell you guys a story. Would you like to hear a story?
Yeah.
Okay. Want to sit up here?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was born, I wasn't ready to come up out of my mommy's tummy yet. And the doctors had to help me out. I didn't know how to breathe by myself. And my eyes were a little sick. Did you let your eyes have little parts inside that work together to do their work? So some of the parts inside my eyes needed a little bit of help. And the doctors didn't quite know what to do because this was a long time ago. And they didn't have all the things that they have now. Hospitals are really cool, kind of cool now, aren't they? Mm-hmm. They have fancy technology so they can help babies. And back then, they didn't have all those things. So they did the best they could. But that's why I have to wear these little glasses now. And they work a little bit, but not quite like we would like. So my eyes still need lots of help. And every so often, I have to go and get the doctors to help my eyes out some more. So, when I was little, my parents had a big talk with me, and they had to explain to me that my eyes needed help, and the doctors had to work on it. Anybody ever been to an eye doctor? You guys been to see the eye doctor? They shine a big light in your eye. So they can see inside your eyes and see how those parts are working. And it hurts. And I didn't like it. Do you guys like to get shots?
I scream and kick.
You scream and kick?
I didn't scream and kick when I got shot.
You're brave. I screamed and kicked when that doctor shined his light at me. And I screamed and kicked so much they made me go to sleep. So, when I got big, like a teenager, stand up. How old are you?
19.
Well, I was 14. I was a little younger than you. My eyes decided they didn't want to work anymore. And I couldn't see. And I was outside when this happened. It scared me. Because I was crazy trying to go somewhere. And I had learned special ways to go places where you can't see. Because I couldn't see very well. But I was still pretty scared. Because it's scary when you think you're supposed to see something and suddenly it's not there. Can you imagine that? If you close your eyes and you try to look around the room with your eyes closed, you think you should be able to see, but your eyes are closed. And that's kind of different, isn't it? So I thought, well, I should go to the doctor, but I sure didn't want him looking at my eyes and poking on me. So guess what? I didn't go. That wasn't very smart, was it? Well, eventually, my eyes got better on their own. I was pretty lucky, wasn't I? But it wasn't very smart. Because eventually, it happened again. And guess where I was? I was over there at AU. And guess where I was? Outside. And the doctor wanted to see me. What do you think I did? I didn't want to go. Well, that time, I went. It's a good thing, isn't it? I learned my lesson. Well, so when I went, the doctor said, we're going to have to work on your eyes. You think I got excited about that?
No.
No. So I went back to AU and I said, you can work on my eyes in the summertime. So, I went back to AU and I was in my dorm room. My doctor was all the way in Texas, so you don't think he could fix my eyes from Texas, do you? Nope. Texas is a long way away. So there I was in my dorm room, and I had my Bible. And I decided I was going to read my Bible, because maybe my Bible would make me feel better. Do you guys feel better when you read your Bible? Does it make you feel better to hear God's stories?
No.
Yes? Sometimes? Do you ever get mad at God?
No.
No? Well, I started reading the Bible in my Braille Bible. And I read about God healing people. And how do you think I felt when I read about God healing people?
Better.
You think I felt better?
Felt old, but not that bad.
I actually felt very sad. And I felt kind of mad. Because I still couldn't see. And I wanted to know why God didn't heal me. How come I had to go to the doctor and let him poke on me and do surgery on me? How come God didn't just heal me? And I sat on my bed and I started to cry and I said, God, I don't know if you can do this. And you know what I did? I got so mad, I threw my Bible on the floor.
Would you pick that up for me?
Guess what? It's okay to get mad at God. Did you know the Bible even says that? It does. In Isaiah, it says, bring your case before me. God says that. He says, tell him you're mad at him. It's okay to get mad at God as long as you pick your Bible up.
As long as you pick it up and you read it again. Because God wants us to know that he didn't forget us. So, I went to the doctor that summer and I had my surgery. And guess what? It hurt. It hurt just like a shot. And my eyes felt better because the doctors were able to fix them. Not all the way. I couldn't see like you, but I could see better. So, let's talk about why God doesn't make me see like you. Because I think God has some good reasons. Lots of people want me to see just like you. They think it would be a great idea. I think it would be a pretty cool idea sometimes. But I'm not mad at God anymore. I've had a long time to stop being mad at God. I think that God has let me go some pretty cool places that I wouldn't get to go if I could see. I've got to meet some really cool people. Hey, Kevin, would you stay that long? You know who that is, guys?
Your husband.
That's my husband. And I wouldn't ever have met him if I could see. He's a pretty cool dude. And you know what else? If he could see, he wouldn't have met me. And I sure am glad I met him. Because I love him very much. So, I am kind of glad now that God didn't heal me then when I was throwing my temper tantrum and throwing my Bible on the floor. The other thing is, I probably wouldn't have gone to seminary because I wouldn't be thinking about reading my Bible. I'd be thinking about taking trips and doing fun things and driving my car. I would. You can say that.
I didn't.
See, I told you I couldn't see that table. Remember I showed you the big Bible? When I was little, my Bible didn't look like that. My Bible had hard front and back. And I didn't have a whole Bible. I only had some of it, because every time we bought one book, it cost a bunch of money, because Braille was kind of expensive. So, whenever we bought a Bible, we paid $40. Anybody know how long it takes to save $40? Mm-hmm. Have you ever tried? Ada, do you get an allowance?
No.
No? Does anybody get an allowance? It takes a long time to save money. So I didn't get a Bible very often. And there were 18 of those hard books in a Bible. So it would have cost a lot to buy the whole Bible. So I got four of those hardback books that made up the New Testament. And then I only got a couple of books from the Old Testament by the time I went to college at AU. So it's kind of hard to take a Bible class when you don't have a Bible, don't you think? Can you imagine trying to read your Bible assignments when you don't have a Bible? What would you do?
Sit there.
It would be kind of hard, wouldn't it? Well, when I didn't have a Bible and I wanted to learn about God, I listened to music because there's lots of music that talks about God. So, I learned to like music a lot. And did you know that in the old Bible days, people used music to tell the Bible story? So I kind of feel like I understand the Bible a little bit. But I didn't feel like I understood it when I was little, because everybody I knew had a Bible. In fact, my dad had a lot of Bibles. Yes. Five Bibles that all say NIV. I always wondered why he had so many NIVs. I had a lot of feelings. Do you guys have a lot of feelings? I bet you do. When I had feelings, I made up songs. All kinds of songs. I made up songs when I wanted to pray. You guys ever done things when you want to pray? That were creative? We had creative things at church, didn't we? You can draw when you want to pray. And you can write poems. You can do all kinds of things. So eventually, I started to feel like God might want me to use my music to teach people about God. And that was the first time I thought about ministry. But it's awfully hard to do ministry when you don't have a Bible. And it took a long time, but I learned later that I could get a Bible on the computer. How would a blind person use a computer? Can you imagine?
Could there be a special kind?
Kind of. There's a piece of software that you can put on the computer. It makes it talk. Can you imagine a computer that talks? Yeah. Did you know that iPhones talk? Yes.
Siri.
Yes, it's like Siri. So there's a Bible program that you can put on the iPhone too. And when I went to college and I started to use the Bible on the computer, I thought about learning how to read Hebrew and Greek. Do you know what Hebrew and Greek are?
Like different ways to read.
Those are the languages that the Bible used to be written in. And I wanted to learn them so that I could read the Bible in the old languages. I didn't know they could write them in Braille for a long time. Not until a few years ago when I went to seminary. And now I know that. And they can even put them on Braille on the computer. There's a device that you can hook up to the computer, and it reads Braille. So you can put Hebrew and Greek on the computer. So now I can read the Bible in those languages, and I can teach other people how to read those languages. And that is really something, because it's not something that blind people have always been able to do. Have you guys ever waited for something for a really long time? Did your mom tell you, let's just wait a little while? Does it make you very, very impatient? I want to eat now. Yeah. I had to wait for a long time before I could learn those languages. And sometimes I had to wait for a long time for other things. It's hard. When I didn't have a full Bible, I used to read the book of Isaiah. It's a good book about what to do when you wait for a long time and you feel discouraged. I didn't know what the book of Isaiah was about when I had no Old Testament. Because the book of Isaiah is called prophecy. And it's about Israel. And Israel was in trouble. And it's supposed to be read with the other books of the Old Testament. I didn't know that. I do now, because I have a Bible. But in Isaiah 46, God is talking through the prophet, and he says to Israel, he says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all of you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, even to your old age and your gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you, who made you, and who will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. God's telling Israel he's going to get them out of trouble. Do you ever want somebody to get you out of trouble? I do. When bad things happen to me, I want somebody to help me. I like these verses a lot more now that I know the whole story. And God is the same for me as he is for Israel. God will help me when things are hard for me. And I'm so glad now that I have the whole Bible and I can understand. The song that I'm going to sing is a song that I wrote in 1998. The great curtain came back. I had lost my vision again. And things were very, very hard. I was one course away from finishing my undergraduate degree. I was also in the middle of my divorce, and I had moved back home with my parents. I didn't know when I decided to move home. My parents were in the middle of a move. They were moving from Texas to Anderson. You never saw so much drama as I put together when I found that I wouldn't be able to go back and finish my own class. Because I thought the world was going to end, and I couldn't get my surgery, and I didn't know what the rest of my life would be like because I couldn't finish my degree. I did not know how to be patient and wait and trust God. And I really did not think things would be okay. But I read this verse, and I realized that I needed God to remind me that he was my God and that he would help me. And this is the song that I wrote. We all go through dark times, emotionally dark times. This is a song that I have prayed in all kinds of times, not just times when I've lost my vision, but other times that have been emotionally difficult. And so I felt like it was appropriate to share it as I share my story. Because my story is only partially about vision loss. I felt like it was good to talk to you about how vision loss has shaped my faith. There have been a lot of other medical things and other types of things that have shaped my faith, but this has been something that has forced me to prepare for those types of things. And so this is Give Me Your Peace. Oops. That's it. Thank you.